Praise be Jesus and Mary. Lent is a time of mercy. In the opening antiphon of this Mass, we prayed for mercy. And it is not only a time to ask God for mercy, but also a time to perform works of mercy. We talked in the opening prayer spoke of us wishing to benefit from our Lenten works. And the Church summarizes these the works of mercy under the name of almsgiving, which it recommends especially during Lent along with prayer and fasting. Today's Gospel reminds us that we will be judged on our works of mercy, for God is merciful with those who show mercy. Our Lord taught, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And St. James wrote, judgment is without mercy for the one who has shown no mercy. Well, mercy triumphs over judgment. A little later he adds, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Now, during our lifetime, and especially during Lent, is the time for mercy. Then comes the time for judgment. Each of us will be judged immediately after death, and at the end of the world will come the universal judgment, which the Lord illustrates in the parable we heard. The Son of Man will come. The judge is a man like us. He is not a judge unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows how much it will cost to do God's will. Indeed, he died on the cross, remaining obedient unto death. All the nations will be assembled before him. Everyone will receive what they deserve, whether it is punishment or reward. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep and goats were one herd, and so they were together when they were grazing, but then later they are separated. And so the sheep and goats are together in this world, but will be separated at the end. And he knows very well how to separate us, for he knows each of us better than we know ourselves, and knows where each one must go according to what he has done in his life. We are blinded by pride, which makes us judge ourselves leniently and others harshly. Jesus judges each person according to truth and to justice, and knows the depths of our hearts, our most hidden intentions that perhaps even escape our attention. The judgment will be on the commandments, which are summarized in the twofold commandment of love for God and neighbor. The first reading speaks mainly of sins of commission, and the gospel of sins of omission. Thus, the readings help us to examine our conscience on our relationships with our neighbor, and to see what we need to work on during this Lent. In the parable, Jesus presents the judgment in terms of corporal works of mercy, which are an expression of love for our neighbor. This is because it is the most evident aspect of charity. We can more easily deceive ourselves regarding our love for God. In the case of our neighbor, the obstacles to charity are more evident. Our neighbor may not be very likable. He may even seem evil. He tests our patience and our other virtues. But charity is a single virtue. So if we do not have love for our neighbor, we do not love God either. But love for our neighbor does not necessarily mean finding him likable, but willing what is for his good. And so, because there is no love for God without love for neighbor, Jesus presents the judgment in terms of love of neighbor. He also chooses to talk about sins of omission, which are the type of sin that most easily escapes our attention. And he specifically names six of the seven corporal works of mercy. These are feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, and visit the imprisoned. These help our neighbor in his bodily needs in this life. The seventh corporal work of mercy is bury the dead. Care for the bodies of the dead is due to them particularly because these bodies were temples of the Holy Spirit, and they will rise again on the last day. This brings us to an important point, for only the bodies of those who are in a state of grace are temples in which the Holy Spirit dwells. In the judgment, Christ says, "Whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me." His brothers, properly speaking, are the adopted sons of God, that is, people who are in a state of grace. So he's talking primarily about doing these things for Christians, as Origen, Saint Augustine, and many others observe. Of his disciples, he can say, "You did it for me," because a Christian is another Christ, called to be holy as he is holy. But because we cannot know for certain who is in a state of grace or who will convert before the end of his life, we extend these works of mercy to everyone. The priority, however, goes to those who seem more likely to be sons of God. Therefore, St. Paul said, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." He says, "As we have opportunity." This is the fundamental point in regard to works of mercy. We don't have the opportunity to help everyone in the world because we lack the means and knowledge to do so. In general, you should give priority to those God has placed closer to you, socially or physically. The exception is when someone less close to you is in greater need. Need is also what determines the degree to which you must inconvenience yourself to help another. But where the obligation ends, space for generosity begins. What we must do must always be aimed at the genuine good of the person we help. So you're not truly helping someone if you give him money that he'll use to buy drugs. We need to try to be discerning, to really love people and try to do what is best for them. Even more important than physical good is spiritual good, although it may be harder to achieve. These are the seven, and so there are also seven spiritual works of mercy. Counsel the doubtful, instruct the ignorant, admonish sinners, comfort the afflicted, forgive offenses, bear wrongs patiently, and pray for the living and the dead. These two are ways in which we must exercise mercy, according to our ability and the opportunities we have. And for most of these, no one lacks the ability. Anyone can pray. Anyone can bear wrongs patiently. Anyone can and must forgive offenses. So let us be merciful so as to be like our Father in heaven, and also so as to receive from him the mercy we so badly need. Praised be Jesus and Mary.